When Mies van der Rohe famously said, less is more, he was referring to architecture, but the idea is equally true in many other areas, as Roseanne Gold has proven with a series of best-selling cookbooks that feature recipes consisting of just three ingredients. And now we're inviting you, our listeners, to participate in a three-ingredient challenge. She joins us now to help launch this, our latest culinary contest. Roseanne Gold, as you probably know, is a four-time James Beard Award winner. Her latest cookbook is called, appropriately, Radically Simple. It's published by Rodale, and I'm very pleased to welcome her back to our show.
Hi. Thank you, Leonard. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Is there something kind of perfect about the number three? Would the concept work just as well with four or five ingredients?
No. I think the number three has a certain kind of magic. In fact, in many forms, in art, in poetry, in music, for sure. And I think about my recipes like chords in music.
Well, we do cheat a little bit. We don't count salt and pepper and spices and herbs and olive oil and butter.
So I think
you don't count them in the number.
Yes. So I'm a purist, and everything counts except for salt, pepper, and water. And the rest of the recipes are really just three primary ingredients. I think for the sake of this contest, we're going to change it a little bit and handicap the contest by allowing people to use, I think we decided, olive oil, herbs, spices, and butter. But everything else counts.
Have you always believed in simplicity in your cooking, or is that something that you came to gradually?
Well, it's interesting. I've been cooking for a very long time, and maybe like other artists, there's a kind of an arc of the way we express ourselves. And when we're young and impassioned, I think we really push the boundaries and use lots of ingredients and really go overboard. And as we get older and refine our taste, I know a lot of chef friends are really keeping it simple.
But don't most classic recipes have lots of ingredients and lots of steps?
Not anymore. As a matter of fact, when my first book came out, Recipes 1, 2, 3, this was in 1996. This was really revolutionary. But I think I gave permission for home cooks and professional chefs alike to keep it simple and to really focus on the primary ingredients. You know, Leonard, I was listening to your show when you had Otto Lengi on last week, talking about his beautiful book, Jerusalem and Otto Lengi. And I was so surprised when he said that he, too, just thinks about three primary ingredients when he develops his recipes. His are complex. He adds a lot of interesting, exotic Middle Eastern spices. But a lot of it's based on very simple techniques.
Well, you've been a personal chef, famously for Mayor Koch, but also a consultant at restaurants like Rainbow Room and Windows in the World. Do you think differently when you're doing something for a smaller group?
Yes. Let's see. I still find it very difficult to entertain at home because I do think of myself as a bridge between a restaurant chef and a home cook. But there is something about impressing guests and the notion of simplicity and three ingredients. You know, it's a little bit of a balance, but I'm famous for two recipes. Every dinner party, everyone gets my three-ingredient chocolate mousse cake and lemon buttermilk sorbet.
Well, let's lay out the terms of our challenge to our listeners. They have to use chicken and onions, or if they prefer, garlic or leeks instead of
right,
the chicken
and allium. An A-L-I-U-M. So that would be like maybe that's two L's. Garlic, chives, shallots, leeks are all acceptable.
Because they're all in the same family, aren't they?
Right. The lily family.
And then, okay, so we have chickens and an allium. And one more ingredient of their choice?
Well, again, if I was doing this, I would really be very strict. And you can be too, and maybe we'll judge you. We'll give you a few extra bonus points if you really find a way to do three ingredients. But you can use freely in this, again, salt, pepper, water, olive oil, butter, herbs, and spices. But then you
They don't count.
But you need to find the third exotic ingredients, if you will, the third note in the chord.
So something like saffron would count as a third ingredient. I'm not suggesting saffron.
Right. Well, let me give you a couple of examples of really perfect three-ingredient recipes. Something I'm doing recently is wild salmon, wasabi peas, you know, those very spicy wasabi peas, and I crush them to a powder, and I coat the top of the fish with that, and fresh lime, and I blast it in a really hot oven for like 10 minutes, and it's gorgeous. So that would be a wonderful example of just a perfect three-ingredient recipe.
And you've sent us a number of recipes that are limited to three ingredients. Mahogany short ribs. Why do you call them mahogany?
This is a classic. I think the Washington Post said this was their favorite recipe of all time. These marbled short ribs sit in a bath of prune juice and teriyaki sauce.
Now, that's
overnight.
An unusual combination. How did you come up with that mix?
This is what I do. I stay up all night and I think about these things. Again, it is the unusual combination of ingredients that makes this three-ingredient idea work. So it's all about balance. It's about balance. It's about flavor. So with the teriyaki sauce, and there's some very good ones on the market now that have a lot of umami in it and a little bit of sweetness. And again, the prune juice also has a lot of depth. It's almost chocolatey. So when the short ribs cook, at the end, I reduce that sauce, and it really does become mahogany color. And again, the prune juice is tenderizing the meat, so it's just gorgeous.
So you marinate, then you heat up the sauce, mm-hmm. bring it to a boil, and then add the ribs?
That's right. And then you do a slow simmer for 2 hours until the short ribs are really tender. You take them out of the bath, if you will, and then you reduce that sauce until it's almost like a syrup. And then you add some salt and pepper.
Now, this is great for entertaining, especially as the weather gets colder.
Yes.
Because it's kind of cooking by itself, so you can just, if you time it right, you can just pull it out without having to spend a lot of time in the kitchen.
Oh, I'm a big fan of things cooking by themselves. This way I can go and meditate or do something else. And that
Be with your guests.
Or be with my guests. That recipe is just gorgeous, served on rosemary noodles. Again, another three-ingredient recipe. Buy some wide egg noodles, toss it with some sweet butter and a little bit of fresh rosemary.
Another recipe is chicken with roasted grapes and grape demi-glace.
Okay, so this is really amazing.
But isn't that a two-ingredient recipe?
No. Okay, so it's chicken breasts. It is grapes used two different ways and cold butter. So this is really a chef technique, and it really does look like a demi-glace at the end, which is, of course, is usually takes 24 hours to make and made with veal bones. But I roast the grapes. Number one.
So I've never heard of roasting grapes before.
I think I might have been the first one to do it. So they almost shrivel up and look like big plump raisins. And I take those aside. Then I take the other grapes and I pulverize them to get the fresh grape juice. And then I strain that. And I really press down hard on the skin. So there's a lot of pectin in that. I saute the chicken breasts in sweet butter.
How long does that cook?
4 minutes on each side. I add the grape juice, and what happens is it thickens immediately and also turns this gorgeous color. And then I put the roasted grapes in it and then add a little bit of cold butter, so it really becomes a very professional looking sauce.
I'm speaking with Roseanne Gold about our upcoming three ingredient listener recipe challenge. We are starting it up today, and you have from now until noon Tuesday, December 3rd to enter. For details, go to our show page at WNYC.org. So we have this challenge where we said chicken and onion or some related vegetable. People could include grapes as the third ingredient.
Well, they can, but they'll have to do something a little bit different with it, won't they?
Yeah, well, we'll know where they got that idea. Then you have flap hanger or skirt steaks with sumac.
Yes.
Now, first of all, what's a flap steak?
Well, it's the covering on a particular cut of meat. It's not easy to find. It's really very choice. But that's why I said you can also do hanger steak or skirt steak. And it's really all about the technique. Sumac is a Mediterranean berry. It's a dried berry.
Where do you find that?
Middle Eastern markets. And it's got kind of a salty, sour taste. And when you heat it, it becomes a crust. And it is just delicious. So this is actually a two-ingredient recipe.
And you do this on the stovetop?
Stovetop, or you can also do it under the broiler. And again, you can take some sumac and soak some sliced onions and just do a very simple salad with parsley.
You recommend heating the pan in the oven in advance?
For the stovetop, yeah. What I do is I put this is also a wonderful technique. If you heat a pan really hot with salt in it, so you're getting that salt in the pan very, very hot, and then you throw the steak in it, it really helps create this beautiful, beautiful crust. But again, the three-ingredient thing is a lot about technique. I make something called sheep pan spinach, and, it's very I really am amazed when I see recipes that say a pound of spinach feeds 4 people. It really doesn't. It really feeds more like 2 because it shrivels up so much.
You have all the spinach. It looks so like you got so much when you buy it at the green market.
Right.
And then suddenly becomes these little – but it's delicious.
Oh, it is delicious.
I never understood why kids – were supposed to not like spinach. I always like spinach.
Delicious. My daughter loves it, but I found another way to make it. So I put it on a sheet pan, and it doesn't shrivel up quite as much. And you can take a whole pound of spinach, put it on the sheet pan, and I actually coat it with a little bit of olive oil. But halfway during cooking, I spritz it with water, and it helps kind of steam it. And then you put it back in the oven, and it wilts, but not to nothingness. You know, you really have a nice portion.
And you do this in a very hot oven, 500 degrees.
Very hot oven, you know, for less than, I think it's around 8 minutes.
So it's like putting the spinach into a sauna.
It is. Exactly. Again, what's so much fun with this three-ingredient idea, and I'm saying this to, you know, whet everyone's appetites and really get them thinking and be very creative. I even created a flan out of 3 ingredients. It's really improbable. The 3 ingredients are pineapple juice, sugar, and eggs. And the fact that it holds together at all is just amazing. But it looks like a regular, like creme caramel or traditional flan, and it's much healthier. And there's something magical about cooking with 3 ingredients.
Well, egg yolks are a natural binder, aren't they?
Yes, yes. So this recipe uses whole eggs and egg yolks, pineapple juice and sugar. And then, of course, you make the caramel by just melting sugar in the pan, putting it in the bottom of your custard cup, put the mixture, pineapple egg mixture, and you bake it in a water bath. So honestly, if I had to add a 4th ingredient to that, I wouldn't. It's just perfection.
Would you make any custard in a water bath?
Yes, that is the traditional way to make custards.
And then you put it in the refrigerator to cool it off.
To cool it. And then
so
you
this
can
is another thing
it.
You can prepare in advance.
Oh, yes.
In fact, pretty much all of these things could be prepared in advance if you're having people over for dinner.
Yes. I think that would be a wonderful menu that we just mentioned, the short ribs or that chicken dish and the pineapple flan.
Well, a reminder that if you want to enter this challenge, this contest, we will actually declare a winner or winners.
Winners. Let's do winners. And I think I will even give the winners a copy, a signed copy of Radically Simple.
So come up with your recipe, which is chicken plus onion or garlic or some other member of that family, and a third ingredient of your choosing. Don't use grapes because we know that
we've done
where
that
idea comes from. And I'm not sure that that would work with onions. What do you think?
I actually think it would be pretty nice. In fact, I'm thinking I might want to do that with duck. I think that actually could work. But we have chicken here, and I think there are a million other ingredients that you can add. And I'm going to be looking, Leonard, for a very interesting technique. All right, it's not just the ingredient. The recipe really needs to kind of prove to me that you've thought about this and that you're doing something really extra special. I want to learn something, too.
Because when we recently had people tweet recipes, what many people wrote in was, open box of cereal, pour into bowl, add milk.
And that's only 2 ingredients.
Yeah, well, we would like something a little more thought
yes.
out than that. For details, go to our show page at WNYC.org. And remember, you have until noon Tuesday, December 3rd, so you have a bit of time to come up with your recipe. I want to talk about something else. It's been just over a year since Sandy hit and had a devastating impact on an awful lot of people. Can you tell us what you've done in the wake of this to help so many hungry people, along with Congregation Beth Elohim in Park Slope?
Yes. I've had a very, very special year. It was so unexpected. But the day after Hurricane Sandy, we got an email. I think everyone in our community got an email from the rabbi, who's a very fantastic social activist kind of guy. And he wanted to feed a couple of hundred people for a few days at the Armory. And he and Councilman Brad Lander had this idea to do it. There were people who were really hungry, sick, old, and in the Armory. And all I can tell you is that last week, because we've been doing this for 1 year, I've been in the kitchen every day for 1 year. A pop-up kitchen.
What is a pop-up kitchen involved?
Well, I created this. It takes place on the second floor of Congregation Beth Elohim in Park Slope. It's a nice kitchen, but it really wasn't equipped to do what we needed to do. The first day after the storm, I woke my husband. We had no food, no money, no plan. We went to the synagogue, and there were hundreds of people waiting. Everyone wanted to do something. So we used our credit card. We bought all the food we could. The first day, we made 600 sandwiches. The second day, 1,000. And then the next day, we actually cooked for 2,000 people. And we've been doing this every single day. And last week, Leonard, we made our 100,000th meal. Hmm. We cook it and we deliver it. And it's been one of the most rewarding experiences of my life.
Are you still looking for volunteers?
We would love to have volunteers. In fact, I was there just this morning. We had a chef from the St. Regis show up. He heard about us. We have a lot of people from New York Cares. Yesterday, there was a beautiful model who showed up. She had just heard about it. We have people come from all over the country. We work from 8 until 11 every morning now, 5 days a week. And we would love to have you come.
And there's information about it, a link on our show page at WNYC.org. Do you limit yourself to three ingredients?
Well, we do make a lot of sandwiches, but no. We also try to make very healthy sandwiches. You know, we do some beautiful chicken salads, and we always send out baby carrots and apples. But I have to tell you what was so amazing. There were so many people in the beginning who wanted to be involved, and people didn't know what to do. So I made a request to everyone in the community the second day after the storm to bring 1 dozen boiled eggs and 1 loaf of bread. The next day, we had 5,000 hard-boiled eggs, and it gave everyone in the kitchen something to do. So we peeled the eggs, we mashed the eggs, we made egg salad, we made sandwiches. I mean, this was a feeling of community better than anything could be.
One of the things that we've been stressing on these shows is cooking seasonally. In our challenge, would it be important to you that if something were added, that it would be something that could be that would have been produced nearby?
Again, I'm, you know, so interested in farm to table and locavore and seasonal. So, yes, I think you'll get extra points if you do use some rutabagas or, you know, an interesting.
But we won't prevent people from entering if they come up with imported Chilean raspberries.
No. I have, for me, local is good. Fresh is best. So fresh always trumps everything. I'm not sure I care where it's from as long as it's fresh. But just have fun with this. But I am looking for some real thought. Again, think about these recipes as chords and music. Again, salt, pepper, water, olive oil, spices don't count. But I can't wait to see what we get.
And you'll be back with us on December 3rd. That's a Tuesday when we choose the winners.
Wonderful.
So you have until, well, actually, you'll be here after that, I guess. That's when we'll decide. That's when we end the contest. Noon on Tuesday, December 3rd. I'm not exactly sure when we're booking you, but it'll be around that time. If you want details, go to our show page at WNYC.org. Think of that recipe and send it in. And Roseanne Gold, whose latest book is called Radically Simple, published by Rodale. It's one of 12 cookbooks. Will be with us to judge, and maybe I'll help judge.
I hope so, Leonard. Thank you.
Thank you.